Sydney Abbott sued Maine dentist Randon Bragdon because he refused to work on her teeth in his dental office. Bragdon knew Abbott had HIV and insisted on fixing her cavities in a hospital, even though she had no symptoms of AIDS. Abbott claimed she was discriminated against and sued the dentist. She cited the 1990 Americans with Disabilities Act, or ADA, claiming she was disabled because the HIV infection prevented her from having children because it would expose the fetus and her partner to the disease. Protection under the ADA turns on whether an individual is limited from engaging in a major life activity. By a 5-4 vote, the justices said reproduction is a major life activity. This is a ruling infertility activists have long desired. Diane Aronson is the national head of Resolve, an infertility support group.
We believe this ruling will help to strengthen the claims of discrimination when those with infertility are not allowed workplace accommodations to undergo treatments, or when an employer does not provide infertility insurance coverage. The Supreme Court's decision will make it more difficult to unfairly discriminate against those who experience infertility.
An estimated 1 in 6 Americans are infertile, and for most of them, insurance plans will only cover diagnosis and a few basic treatments. Many patients have to pay for expensive fertility medications and costly high-tech procedures out of their own pockets. That's what happened to Paul and his wife Carol, who live in Ohio and have battled infertility for 8 years. Paul complains that his insurance company would not cover the couple's infertility treatments, but would automatically pay for things like chemical dependency treatments or surgery to fix tennis elbow.
These are things that are self-inflicted onto people, and they cover helping those people out of those situations. Ours, we were born with. These are now functions of our bodies, and yet we get no help.
About 2% of infertile couples seek the most advanced infertility treatments, such as in vitro fertilization, where the woman's eggs are surgically collected, then mixed with sperm in a laboratory dish, and transferred back to the uterus. One round of IVF can easily cost more than $10,000. It's rarely covered by insurance. Pamela Madsen, head of Resolve's New York City chapter, says many couples simply can't afford it. Madsen and her husband went into debt and now have 2 kids.
What we did was we mortgaged our future. We were a young couple. I was 20 when I married. So we used our nest egg for our home to pay for our baby. So we still live in a one-bedroom apartment in New York.
A growing number of infertile people have sued their employers and insurance companies, claiming refusal to cover their condition or provide time off for treatments is discrimination. Chicago attorney Vicki Bush Joseph specializes in reproductive law. She does not expect insurance plans or employers to immediately expand their coverage because of this week's ruling, but she says the Supreme Court provided a powerful new weapon to use against companies.
So some employers that have maybe dug in their heels a little bit more strongly, saying they want to litigate, I would be hopeful that they would back off and hopefully start providing coverage.
While the Supreme Court ruling is a potential boon to infertile Americans, University of Minnesota law professor and medical ethicist Susan Wolf says there are many unanswered questions.
For example, let's say a 45-year-old woman comes forward and says, well, I want to engage in infertility treatment because at my age it's extremely hard to conceive. There are a lot of infertility patients like that. I would expect the courts will hesitate before saying there is ADA coverage there. Where is the physical impairment? Age? Is age alone a physical impairment? I think a lot of courts will say no.
And what of older men who wish to have children and cannot? Will the ruling mean that insurance companies will have to pay for male impotence treatments, such as the drug Viagra?
That's a very interesting question. Well, I mean, if an inability to maintain an erection caused a man to be infertile, I think he would have a reasonable claim that 2 major life activities were being interfered with. One, reproduction, and the other is sex. There is some language in this Bragdon decision that suggests that sex itself may constitute a major life activity.
Nearly a dozen states require company health plans to cover infertility treatments, and similar legislation has been introduced in Congress. The insurance industry opposes such mandates, saying they increase the cost of health insurance to companies and employees. But advocates for coverage counter that the increase is just a few dollars per month for each policyholder. Meanwhile, an analyst at the nonpartisan Employee Benefit Research Institute in Washington says the total number of workers affected by infertility is so small that this week's Supreme Court ruling is probably not a major concern for most benefit managers. And while the ruling provides hope for infertile Americans who want better insurance coverage, Lawyers expect more court battles before such coverage is routine. This is Stephen Smith, Minnesota Public Radio.